Hello. Happy Darshan. This is the message released for the occasion by the Sri Aurobindo Ashram. The Mother guides, helps each according to his nature and need, and, where necessary, herself intervenes with her power, enabling the sadhak to withstand the rigors and demands of the path. She has placed herself, with all the love, peace, knowledge, and consciousness that she is, at the disposal of every aspiring soul that looks for help. Sri Aurobindo. So, we said we would talk about the symbolism of the 24th and what it means to us. The first thing is to say what the 24th marks, which is the return of she whom we call the Mother to the side of Sri Aurobindo on this date in 1920. She was coming back from Japan. And as I mentioned last night, one of the biographies says that she felt the impact of his consciousness entering his personal atmosphere 2 miles out at sea, 2 nautical miles away. A different biographer quotes her as saying it was 10 nautical miles away. But it means to us that this is a remarkable consciousness that is so sensitive that even at such a distance, a perception like that would arrest her in her normal movements in the cabin of that ship and announce to her the presence of Sri Aurobindo. 2, when she stood next to him in that same building, which they now call the guest house, looking out into the distance, she felt, and he felt, that the hour had come for the work to begin. So, what you see in the fusion of that moment is a decision that was made above, in the higher consciousness, that this shall be so. Sri Aurobindo, this vast conscious person, the Mother, this dynamic force of consciousness, in a sense represent the Sat and the Chit of Sat Chit Ananda, and their interplay, their fused energies, their integrated action represents the delight of the cosmos coming into full flower. Beyond the announcement of the principles of the transformation in the pages of the Arya, their lives conjoined would demonstrate how it is done. And she notes that immediately the prospect before them was whether they should do it alone, the two of them, working out what are the terms of the transformation all the way down to the physical in something of an isolation from broader humanity, or whether they should conjoin their energies with those who felt the same aspiration, who were on fire for the same thing, to change the values of life upon earth, to bring out its hidden richness, to bring all that is possible, all that is potential in terms of the wonders of consciousness into direct manifestation through the human physique. This would stand in a transformed humanity as a bridge through which these greater forces into which we can evolve can descend into Earth, that we would become a conscious bridge. And she said that immediately the question did not have to be answered because there were around them those who already responded to that vibration. So in a sense, representing the Earth's aspiration, were present the kinds of souls that would be necessary to make this real. Because this cannot be done in a single individual. No matter how vast that consciousness, a single individual cannot represent all the possibilities that exist in the universe. So a wider collectivity is necessary for this yoga to truly fulfill itself in its breadth and in its depth. All must arrive at the knowledge of the inmost soul. All must have that. All must widen into that oceanic consciousness of the Atman. But two, we must extend this changed consciousness from an isolated individual into a group who represent the larger humanity and thus represent the Earth, the globe, the solar system, the cosmos. So the effort began then and there in 1920 when they rejoined. It continued with the two of them working side by side for another 30 years and continued for her alone another 23 years beyond that. And we can't say that nothing was achieved, and we can't say that all has been achieved. We can say that things are in preparation, that something has been done, that a bridgehead has been made where this higher consciousness has clenched the earth, claimed the earth for itself, but has now to overcome all the darkness and the division so that it can install the harmony and the light that are native to it. This is the issue for us. We agreed to come here to challenge these endless folds of darkness and to bring forth the hidden light that is within them. We can only achieve that by going back above to where we came from and recapturing our truest selves there and dive back into this seeming abyss with that saving light. It is a yoga that we take up together. It is a yoga that we take up not for ourselves, because once you have discovered the truth of your soul, once you know your psychic being, you have a deep felicity and an enduring happiness that the blows of time and chance cannot shake. A blow may come, and you'll feel it, and it will rattle your exterior being for the moment, but deep inside, you won't be dismayed. You won't be discouraged. You will gather the forces within your instrument and mount a new movement forward. Once you have found your soul, you will have that kind of peace, that kind of felicity, an innate joy. And you have the sense of a vast ananda when you broaden the consciousness beyond, through the universe, and into the transcendence of the Atman. These are great milestones along the spiritual path. Happily, they give you less of the sense of the passing of the moments one after the other, of the sense of personal ownership of universal destiny, as you recognize your place in the work and you accomplish your mission, and all the fruit that comes into your hand, you simply offer, because the innate satisfaction is already there. Your happiness does not depend upon personally consuming these things. If you are asked to consume, you do, but you know that it cycles through you and goes back to that divine host. You know that what you are here to do is carry your burden in collaboration with all others a bit farther. If you have the strength to lift it and go the entire distance, it is a sign of a great blessing. You have come to do this work, and the divine will has authenticated your mission. But we all have a mission of some kind. And to turn it to practical use, that is, this inner soul force, this recognition of what we must do, is how we begin to use a day like this, which signifies so much, where Sat and Chit are conjoined, where true being manifests itself through a true consciousness, where each is in all, where all is in each, where the transcendent one beyond the all is yet within. These great truths take a practical focus. So let's use a day like this, always, as an alarm bell. The tinkling of the anklets as the goddess passes, reminding us that travel is afoot and we have to be up and moving and not loll about too much. You're allowed to loll a little from time to time. You can take a pause in the effort. You'll feel when she bids you. You'll hear the flute. You'll hear the tinkling of those anklet bells. And you will yourself want to join that rhythmic swaying dance that carries us forward. So what does it symbolize? The union? Of the earth and heaven. That which is above, that which is below. There is no ultimate difference. There is no real divide. What does it mean to us? It means that we're here for a life of discovery and a life of service. Discover the source of your true being, and then serve the divine whom you meet everywhere, in all beings, in humanity, beyond humanity, and in all who look up to humanity for consonant, protective, loving leadership. Love this earth. Love each other. Love that from which all this comes. I thought of reading a passage to you from Savitri. This is in the Book of Beginnings. That's book one. And it's in canto four, The Secret Knowledge. It's a wonderful section of the book, and some of the most beautiful language in Savitri begins a couple of pages early, but I'm not going to ask you to listen to five or six pages. I am going to read a couple. But meanwhile, all is a shadow cast by a dream, and to the musing and immobile spirit, life and himself don the aspect of a myth, the burden of a long, unmeaning tale. For the key is hid, and by the inconscient kept. The secret God beneath the threshold dwells, in a body obscuring the immortal spirit, a nameless resident vesting unseen powers with matters, shapes, and motives beyond thought, and the hazard of an unguessed consequence, an omnipotent, indiscernible influence, he sits, unfelt by the form in which he lives, and veils his knowledge by the groping mind. A wanderer in a world his thoughts have made, he turns in a chiaroscuro of error and truth to find a wisdom that on high is his. As one forgetting, he searches for himself. As if he had lost an inner light, he seeks. As a sojourner lingering amid alien scenes, he journeys to a home he knows no more. His own self's truth he seeks. Who is the truth? He is the player who became the play. He is the thinker who became the thought. He is the many who was the silent one. In the symbol figures of the cosmic force, and in her living and inanimate signs, and in her complex tracery of events, he explores the ceaseless miracle of himself, till the thousandfold enigma has been solved in the single light of an all-witnessing soul. This was his compact with his mighty mate. For love of her, and joined to her forever, to follow the course of time's eternity, amid magic dramas of her sudden moods, and the surprises of her masked idea, and the vicissitudes of her vast caprice. Two seem his goals, yet ever are they one, and gaze at each other over bornless time. Spirit and matter are their end and source. A seeker of hidden meanings in life's forms, of the great mother's wide uncharted will, and the rude enigma of her terrestrial ways, he is the explorer and the mariner on a secret inner ocean without born. He is the adventurer and cosmologist of a magic earth's obscure geography. In her material order's fixed design, where all seems sure and even when changed the same, even though the end is left forever unknown, and ever unstable is life's shifting flow, his paths are found for him by silent fate, as stations in the age's weltering flood, firm lands appear that tempt and stay a while. Then new horizons lure the mind's advance. There comes no close to the finite's boundlessness. There is no last certitude in which thought can pause, and no terminus to the soul's experience. A limit, a farness never wholly reached, an unattained perfection calls to him from distant boundaries in the unseen. A long beginning only has been made. Celebrate. This is the 24th of April, when Mother rejoined Sri Aurobindo and never left him. Namaste. Jai Ma.